Part 1, Chapter 3. The following day, Lindy wished very much that she had not accepted Tom's dare. The more she thought about it, the more she became convinced that she would never be able to approach Stone House on Halloween, or at any other time for that matter. She was inwardly terrified at the whole idea, but her courage and pride forbade her from mentioning this to anyone. So she spent a very miserable day worrying about it. At bedtime, when Mrs. Potter came in to kiss her daughter goodnight, she found her lying wide-eyed and clutching her teddy bear. "Don't turn the light out, Mummy. I need to talk to you for a moment." "What is it, darling?" "I want to know something. Is it true you can die from fright?" she asked. Mrs. Potter tried not to smile at the solemnity with which Lindy asked her question. "Why, are you frightened about tomorrow night?" Lindy nodded. "In what way are you frightened? Because you're going with the boys for the first time, or is it something else?"
"No, it's sort of that," Lindy said.
"Well, you know, it's very easy to change your mind and come with Daddy and me instead." Lindy hesitated.
"No, I really would like to go with the boys. I was just thinking about it."
Mrs. Potter tucked the blanket snugly around her daughter. "Why don't you speak to Ben and tell him you're a bit worried? He's very understanding about things like that." Lindy felt a wave of relief at her mother's suggestion. Ben would watch out for her and keep her safe. She hugged her mother and kissed her. "Good night, Mummy." "Good night, darling. Sleep well." In spite of Mrs. Potter's comforting reassurance, Lindy had terrible nightmares that night. She spoke to Ben immediately after school the next day. "Ben, can you keep a secret?"
"Of course I can."
"Well," Lindy took a deep breath, "you see, I'm a bit scared about tonight. I want to keep my dare and win the 25 cents. But I was wondering, would you please stay very near when I go up to Stone House? And if I scream or faint or anything, will you come and save me?"
Ben was flattered that Lindy would turn to him in time of crisis, and he answered in a big brotherly way.
"Of course I will, Lindy. Don't you worry about anything. I'll be right beside you."
"Oh, Ben, that's super."
At 6:30 p.m., after a very early dinner, the children assembled at the front door to say goodbye to their parents. Lindy's lion costume was a great success. She wore a furry bonnet with two soft pointed ears on top of it and furry mittens. She had ruby lips, and there were black whiskers painted on her cheeks and a large black spot on the tip of her nose. On the back of her costume, Mrs. Potter had pinned a long silken tail with a gold tassel at the end of it.
Tom looked incredibly mean and ugly. He had put on his oldest clothes and padded them into a grotesque shape. He wore a pair of his father's shoes, which were much too big for him, and he'd used a glue-like substance to pull his face into an agonized expression. It made Lindy shudder just to look at him, and even Mrs. Potter remarked in a startled way, "Good heavens, Tom, is that really you?"
Ben looked rather dashing, considering he was meant to be Dracula. He wore a long black cloak with a high collar over a black turtleneck sweater and brown trousers. He painted his face white and his lips a dark purplish red. His wig was shiny black. The only really frightening touch was the two fangs he had attached to his teeth. Mr. Potter gave last-minute instructions.
"Now, Dracula, you're in charge. Act in a responsible manner. No egg throwing, no vandalism."
"How about shaving cream?" Tom asked.
"Well, all right. In moderation. Off you go. Be home by 9:30 or 10. No later."
It was dusk already and the street lamps were glowing. Lindy, Tom, and Ben saw people in costumes of every shape, color, and size. There were ghosts and hobos, Frankensteins and monsters, princesses and ballet dancers, gypsies, chimney sweeps, and all manner of other disguises. Ghostly music emanating from some of the houses mingled with the sounds of cackling laughter and shrieking vampires. Candlelit pumpkins flickered while the moonlight cast moving shadows on the lawns. As the night grew darker, Lindy pressed closer to Ben. Tom studied her.
"Now, Lindy, are you sure you want to go through with this? I mean, it's going to be spooky and dangerous."
She nodded her head bravely.
"Well, okay," Tom spoke with grudging admiration.
The three children pushed on towards the town, occasionally pausing to knock on the door of any house that looked appealing and cheerful.
They collected a sizable bag of candy, chewing gum and toffee apples, a good portion of which they happily ate. By the time they reached the park, Lindy was feeling decidedly odd. She couldn't tell if it was from fear or from too many treats. There were two magnificent bonfires on the grass. Children were piling sticks and dry branches onto the flames, and sparks rose high into the air. But the nearer the Potter children got to Stone House, the less activity they saw. The area was heavily wooded. The grass was higher and obviously uncared for. Stone House loomed tall and ghostly gray in the moonlight. Lindy pulled Ben to a halt outside a pair of large iron gates.
"You've got to come in with me," she whispered. "I'll never make it alone."
The gate creaked on rusty hinges, and Lindy's heart was pounding. There was not a sign of life anywhere as they tiptoed along the edge of the gravel drive. Dry leaves crackled under their feet. A loose shutter banged noisily in an upstairs window of the house, and all three children jumped with fright. The wind moaned through the branches of the trees. A dog howled, and as the children paused near the front door, an owl hooted mournfully in the darkness. Lindy's legs almost gave out beneath her, and she was close to tears.
"I told you this'd be too much for her," Tom hissed nervously.
Ben motioned him to be quiet. A light swung and glowed on the porch, revealing gray paint, cracked and flaked from wind and rain. Another light shone high up in the house, and another at the back spilled a ghostly yellow beam onto the grass. "Lindy, it's now or never," Ben said solemnly. He let go of his sister's hand. "Do you think you can make it?" Her eyes were wide with fear, and she swayed a little.
"Go on, go on," Tom said, and he prodded her in the back. "Don't do that," she snapped.
She took a deep breath and began to walk. She fixed her eyes on the elaborate door knocker and looked neither right nor left. The few yards to the porch seemed endless. Her shoes made a hollow sound as she climbed the wooden steps. The owl hooted again as she stood on tiptoe and raised a trembling hand to the door knocker. With a burst of courage, she banged it hard three times. The sound rang out in the stillness of the night and echoed through the trees. For a brief moment, nothing happened. And then suddenly, the front door swung open, and a very sweet and cheerful-looking lady stood smiling down at her. Lindy let out a piercing scream. Tom and Ben charged out of the darkness.
"I'm here, Lindy," shouted Ben. "You leave my sister alone," Tom yelled.
The boy's sudden appearance scared the lady so badly that she screamed too. This had the interesting effect of completely silencing the children. There was a sound of running footsteps inside the house, and a voice cried out, "What is it, Mrs. Primrose? I'm coming." A small, funny-looking gentleman raced out of the house and flung a protective arm around the lady's ample figure.
"What on earth have we here?"
The man peered at the children.
"A lion and a Dracula and some other weird fellow."
"No, it's the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But wait a minute, wait a minute. Bless my soul, haven't we all met before?"
Ben cleared his throat. "Yes, sir, we met you at the zoo last Sunday."
"Of course. But how very nice." He seemed genuinely pleased as he turned to his housekeeper. "Mrs. Primrose, these children are my friends. What on earth is all the fuss about?" Everyone started talking at once, and the man held up his hands. "I really think this should be explained inside, where we would be out of the cold. Mrs. Primrose, we'll have some hot chocolate and whipped cream for everyone, please. Come in, come in," he said to the children. And he held the door open invitingly.